Welcome, everybody, to our seventh episode of the Squadcast podcast. Did you miss us? We missed you guys because we haven't done one of these in 3 weeks unintentionally. We just didn't. We don't really have a reason why we didn't do an episode in the last 3 weeks. It just kind of never lined up.
I had work.
We all had things we were doing, and none of them were this podcast. So we were just like, you know what? We're just going to go on a brief hiatus. And it fits perfectly because a tremendous amount of things happened between then and now. It turns out now that I have to use my brain for once, we do have a fourth topic we could go over slightly, but gonna get the solo Derek topic out of the way here because I know it's gonna be the shortest here. During the time between episode 6 and episode 7, Derek went to the movies and actually Derek went to go see a musical. Now I know, crazy, right? You would assume me doesn't fit as the type of guy who enjoys musicals here, but actually I do.
Tough guy.
Yes, tough guy Derek enjoys a good lighthearted musical.
High School Musical.
It's only because I love movies and I love music. So when you combine the two and do it well, by naturally, I'm going to enjoy it. It doesn't matter what it is. But I went to see In the Heights. And thanks to supporting the Olathe West Theater Program, we got like a little private screening. Looks like a fundraiser thing. I'm not going to, at this current moment, name drop the person I went into the movies with here. Only because I didn't ask beforehand here, and I don't want to put other people's names out without their permission, who aren't on the podcast. That's rude. But it was a really good movie. I am going to not spoil it, unlike what me and Liam said we weren't going to do with the Mortal Kombat movie, and we still kind of did. But I don't have like a long and detailed review because that would involve spoilers, and again, not doing those. But if you enjoy movies that have a large amount of music in them, possibly musicals, this is a really great movie. I rated a solid like 8.5 out of 10. The music was really good. The acting was good. The director is the same guy who did the Hamilton stuff there. If anybody knows who that is, you can't leave a comment. We don't have the YouTube channel up. We need to fix that. But now that we've gotten the boring topic out of the way, we spent the last couple of weeks watching E3 presentations. And
by last couple of weeks, you mean 2 days of the last couple of weeks.
Shut your mouth. Quiet. E3 only ended on Tuesday. It's been 3 days. So let's start off by giving our overall opinion about E3 before breaking down the presentations we watched. E3 was actually pretty good this year.
It sucked until Nintendo showed up.
Okay, we have differing opinions. Once again, that's how we know that there's going to be good content during this episode. I think that, you know what, let's just hop right in.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're skipping. We're skipping a whole presentation. Taylor, how did you feel about E3 as a whole? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Which one?
I'm like,
as a whole.
I said as a whole. So take all three that you watched and think. In total, did you enjoy watching the presentations?
I mean, I gave the first one, I think, a 4 out of 10. The second,
Microsoft, and then Square Enix.
Wait. I thought it was, right. The Xbox One, I'm not too big of a fan of anything they showed, really. So
Forza. I was
You Forza. Know what? Let's just talk about it because Benny doesn't know how to just wait for me to do the transition first. we watched the Microsoft presentation first because that was on Saturday, Sunday.
One of those days
during the last weekend. This podcast getting recorded on the 18th of June for reference. So the biggest thing that Microsoft has struggled with over the past E3 and still struggle with now is their order of which they present things has, their structure's been bad for years. They reveal a lot of games, I think, and you know, that's not bad. Give us all the games, you know? Because if you're going to reveal 48 games, there's no way that there's not going to be at least six that are going to be interesting for the more casual people like us who aren't always looking for, ooh, no new first-person shooter, go pew-pew gun.
All right, guys, time to play the 23rd Halo game in a row.
And the 27th Call of Duty and the 6th Battlefield. But yeah, I'm gonna be salty about it until something different changes here. The fact that they ended with Forza is disgusting. No matter what company it is your structure should not end with a 15-minute talk about Forza and then a CGI trailer for a game that doesn't come out till next year. No matter what, that doesn't make sense. Cause I don't know who buys these Forza games.
A lot of people.
I think that people definitely buy them, but I don't think enough people buy them to the point where that needed to be their big... Keep in mind, in comparison to this and the Nintendo process, what Nintendo did with Zelda was what Xbox did with Forza.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. What? Like, if you swap any of their IPs that they talked about during this presentation with Forza, the presentation goes up another like 1 point for me there. You swap that with where Halo's revealed, you did good. You swapped that with something.
Halo is their big game, not Forza.
Halo is actually their big game here. It's like their Mario, pretty much. As in number one IP. But no, you talk about Halo during the middle of the broadcast, revealed about six more games, and then here's Forza, guys. And I was like, and then you talked about it for 15 minutes, and I was like, And then revealed a CGI trailer at the end, which the game looks good, but we don't get it till next year anyways. Let me tell you this. Let's talk about one thing Xbox did right, though. Let's talk about one of the two things Xbox did right. They came out with the new Xbox console looks like a mini fridge. I'll just say it for those of you who aren't paying attention. They've made an actual mini fridge in the design of the new console, and just for that, I think Microsoft had a reason as to why they might have won E3, but personally, I think that's pretty cool. I'm not going to buy it. It's probably going to cost like
the same amount as the Xbox.
Good cost. You either buy the new Xbox console or buy the version of the new Xbox console that's a mini fridge. Only one of them you can play games with. But that mini fridge is tiny. You can only hold like 7 drinks in that. But the other thing that Xbox did right, and I'm proud of them for it, the Game Pass is OP.
Yeah.
Every game it felt like they revealed was, all right, new game available on Xbox Game Pass when it comes out. New game available on Xbox Game Pass when it comes out. Halo available on Game Pass when it comes out is like, in normal situations, you don't put your main... It's like if Nintendo had something similar to the Game Pass and said the brand new Mario game that's coming out next year is you can get for free.
You get Nintendo Switch Online, you get the new Mario game.
You get Mario Odyssey 2 for free.
Breath of the Wild when it comes 2. Out.
Yeah, and they gave you Breath of the Wild 2 free for when it comes out. And as a person who owns an Xbox and has the Game Pass, the value of all the stuff they reveal in the presentation is insane. out of the like 40 games they revealed, 36 of them are on the Game Pass. And that's just silly. It's also really good. So keep it up. But like when I say silly, I don't mean stop doing it. I mean it's funny. But no, I'm going to be playing a decent bit of these games when they come out here. Like Hades, I'm glad that it's not just on Nintendo Switch anymore and I can play it
always on PC.
It was on PC and Nintendo.
Yes. But
now it is on my Xbox. I don't know how to properly set up my PC where I can play games on it, and my Xbox doesn't have control stick drift. So anytime a game, I have to choose between a game, getting a game on Xbox or on Nintendo, I'm getting it on Xbox. Because I want to play the game and enjoy myself. But okay, you saying all right being kind of Benny disconnecting is hilarious to me, but
since we like interrupting the female in this call, I'd rate the Xbox One probably like a 4 out of 10.
That's fair. I gave it like a 5, I think. Maybe less, yeah. I don't remember.
Square Enix, of course, I give a 7 out of 10 because it's Square Enix.
Well, and to be honest with you here is that Square Enix did a lot while not doing too much. They only revealed like 6 games, but they were a really good 6 games.
Yeah.
They showed the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which, oh my god, that game looks so fun, and I want to play it. You can be Star-Lord, and there's branching stories.
Hey, Benny, we can talk just in time.
All right, Benny, as I know I was about to start talking about this great expectation, but we're going to double back. What was your rating that you gave the Xbox E3 conference?
After they revealed the mini fridge, I said it was a 4.5.
What, you gave it a 4 beforehand?
No, it was a 3.5 beforehand.
Ooh. Yeah, I think post mini fridge, I gave it like a 5. Beforehand, it was a 4. I don't hate first person shooter games, but that was a lot of it, and I'm not gonna buy them. And I mean, Back 4 Blood's cool. The CGI trailer thing that they revealed for that one game that's coming out next year, cool. A couple other things they revealed, cool, but you know. Nothing crazy. Square Enix, the Guardians of the Galaxy game. Like I said, wow. I didn't think they had it in them, and they did. And they started out with that. Now, granted, as that presentation was going on, the one thing I was like beginning to say was like, all right, you can cut the trailer off now. You're giving up the first 4 for the game. I want to find this out for myself. But getting branching storylines in an RPG game does a lot more than we give it credit for. Mm-hmm. You get the choice in the trailer on whether or not you are going to sell Groot or sell Rocket Raccoon as a part of a mission to which you don't actually sell them from the way it looks here, but it's like you get a choice. But shout out to the Guardians of the Galaxy. Other things I got talked about on the Square Enix presentation, was that where Life is Strange was talked about? I feel like it was.
It was talked about in both
Xbox and okay. Switch.
It was talked about, yeah, but I thought it got talked about during the Square Enix presentation. No. Whoopsie daisy. But I'm going to double back to that real quick here. And I love how I'm bouncing between presentations after I just said we're going to try and stick with one in transition. Life is Strange looks really good, and if only I had played the previous games.
If only I knew what the series was.
If only I knew what the series was about, and then I would be really excited. But the only thing is, I don't know what any of these games are about.
I'm sure it's about life being strange.
I mean, if I had to take a guess, but shout out to that. I think Sam's probably the happiest about that, because they're a big fan of that whole thing. back to Square Enix once again. They revealed about they 9 about Final Fantasy yes. mobile games. And which I felt indifferent about.
Cool.
But I mean, like the graphics are nice. They revealed like a whole different like Final Fantasy like prequel like game or whatever, side story. It doesn't look bad at all. I have no problem with it. Again, it's just kind of a, I feel nothing while I am here. They very shortly mentioned The World Ends With You, that game name, which Teva was really happy about.
They, like, didn't even mention it. They just, like, they talked about it for 45 seconds.
Yep.
Well, everything else got talked about for a minute. But you know, that looks cool, I guess. I'm going to use Google to figure out what else they talked about during this presentation because I don't remember.
What did it end with?
Yeah, I remember it didn't end with something, like, special, though. I mean, it just kind of ended. He said, and that was it. And he was just like, well. Babylon's Fall. We've made many jokes because AJ didn't know how to say. Yeah. To be fair, I do have a way I could play the other Life is Strange game because the remastered collection of the first two comes out the same month as the third one. So there's that. The Avengers game is getting more DLC. I'm so glad that they're even bothering to do something with Black Panther, let alone give him his own free standalone stuff. That's cool.
I didn't know there was a Marvel game.
There's a lot of Marvel games.
There's a lot of Marvel games, but that is a straight up Avengers one.
Yeah.
Legend of Mana, again, don't really feel much about that. And yeah, Square Enix, like I said at the beginning, did a lot without doing too much. Mm-hmm. Revealed about 7 games, but I didn't feel like, it didn't feel short. They revealed the least amount of games to my knowledge, except for like maybe Bandai, who talked about one game for the whole presentation. I didn't watch that on purpose, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I give Square Enix a modest 7.
I give it a 6.
I gave it a 7.
I think it was a nice presentation, you know? And here's where we talk about our reigning E3 champion winning for the third year in a row. Good old Nintendo.
I mean, winning by default?
They never really win by default. I mean, to me, Xbox always does some cool stuff here, but it's not amazing, and it's very easy to outdo, and then Nintendo's like, move out of the way.
And Sony's like, yeah, I'll literally move out of the way. Move out of E3 for the third year in a row.
I was ready to say that Sony might have won E3 by not showing up before this Nintendo presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But we all, our whole group, woke up early in the morning to watch this Nintendo presentation.
I was already awake.
Same with me.
All right, then. So, I woke up early in the morning. I made myself breakfast. I hopped into the VC. Look, I'm having a smoothie dilemma right now. I hate to interrupt, but
ASMR.
Slightly.
The smoothie has a edible lime straw, and I was trying to consume the smoothie, but I didn't realize part of the straw had broken.
Wait, I had that one like a week ago. It was so good.
You got it from Tropical Smoothie, right?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I ate the straw and then I was dying because I drank it all in like maybe 10 minutes or less.
Okay, I just ate the rest of the lime straw because it was already broken. The only problem is now I still have like half a smoothie left. Luckily, there's another straw in that bag. So, right. I woke up. I made myself breakfast. There were waffles. They were chocolate chip waffles, actually. I was fully excited. We had about 8 people in the VC. Holton was streaming it. His reaction, it was good. It started out. People were talking. I forget their names, but shout out to them. They're cool. And then it starts. And I was really expecting the whole Smash Bros. Character reveal effect. You know, the classic ka-ching. And then the trailer starts. But no, it just starts with the moment it started and had clouds and like rocks in the background. And I saw not real gameplay footage on the bottom part of the screen. I just knew that, okay, it's Smash. The trailer starts. Ganon gets literally murdered. He got sent back to the bottom tier again. Not that he ever left, but it turns out to be good old. No. They revealed Kazuya Mishima from the Tekken series here. Me, Holt, in the end. Someone else in the and Angel in that VC was so hyped for this here because this is officially like the fourth actual fighting game rep for this Smash Bros. Game, and it makes me happy because
it made me go, "Who?
Listen, Vinny. Sometimes characters get revealed and you aren't really familiar with them, but." Yeah, but the difference is you played Terry for a considerable amount of time. Now, what is the considerable in everyone else's eyes? I don't know, but considerable in my eyes was the amount of time you put into that character. But regardless, yes, he has the same moves that he has from the Tekken games, which made
so creative
me nerd. No, it is because they could have tried to Smash Bros. It, but now that everything's the same, which is good. They pretty much did a similar thing with Ryu and Ken. I think Terry was the main one that where they really had to change to make it Smash Bros. With Ryu and Ken, they keep the inputs in, they keep the natural combos they could do in the actual game in. Same here, because this guy freaking has, because he has a 10-hit combo, which we saw in the trailer. We were like, Jesus Christ. That looks annoying. But probably really difficult to do. It was worth knowing that Sakurai also, after this character got revealed, said, yeah, we didn't film the video for this reveal just yet anyways. So you don't have to wait till the end of the month for that. And I was like, okay, fair enough. There will be another Nintendo reveal thing on June 28th for him specifically. The character, regardless of whether or not you know what game he's from and know him or not, it's cool because it's different.
Banjo and Kazuya.
That's funny, and if someone can make, if I can find an edit of that on Twitter, I'm going to use that as the pick. Banjo and Kazuya, just send that to me and E at some point later, and I'm going to pair that. That's like the little thumbnail thing for this episode. That's really good. I love that. Save image. But
nice.
Like I said, going into the Smash reveal, as long as it's a character that looks interesting and has interesting moves that look kind of cool, I don't care who it is. And it applies here.
I would have preferred Jonesy from Fortnite.
I don't think you actually would have preferred that.
Depends. If he had a cool and interesting moveset.
He wouldn't, because nothing about Fortnite is cool and interesting anymore.
Says the one who played Fortnite.
Played in past tense or plays as in currently is two different things. and even then, when I played the game, I admit that the game sucks. It's really bad. I would not suggest playing it. I've played it, but I wouldn't suggest it to other people. Next game, Life is Strange. Again,
life is strange.
Life is still strange. Life hasn't stopped being strange. That should have been the title of the new game. Life is still strange. But they're porting the whole franchise, as in all three games, to the Nintendo. Yeah, because we only have 1, 2, and 3. They don't have a side game. The new game, Life is Strange True Colors, comes out September 10th on the Switch, and the collection will come out later this year. Yeah, it looks decent. And I can't even be mad at that. The second time where Derek nerded out and his volume went from a 5 to a 9.5. They made a 20th anniversary mega collection kind of thing here for Super Monkey Ball. I grew up with playing this game on, technically, it wasn't even my GameCube. It was on my Wii, but we had a GameCube disc of it. It's a backwards compatibility. But I loved this game as a smaller child, and I love it now. And it comes on October 5th. Yeah, I'll say, like I said last time, y'all know nothing about how important Super Monkey Ball is to me. This made me really happy. Now, when I saw the bananas in the little magazine, and said, like, franchise is reaching its 20th anniversary. And I saw a little, like, banner that had bananas and, like, a monkey. I thought it was Donkey Kong for about 5 seconds. Because that would have also made sense. Because, to my knowledge, the Donkey Kong family are fans of bananas. And I am not a fan of a banana. It actually might be allergic to them the more I think about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Not enough fruit talk. We're moving on. So, Mario Party's back again.
Yes.
Now,
it's better.
In the grand scheme of things, I feel like it was early to make a whole... This is a new Mario Party game. This isn't DLC like we thought it was. This is a whole new game. It's going to cost you another $60 to get.
Yes.
But the nostalgia effect kicked in. It's the old N64 boards. That is phenomenal that they finally went back and decided to do the old boards again. Except it's Mario Party... To me, it's Super Mario Party 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the second of the Super Mario Party kind of stuff they're here. It just feels like they're doing a little bit more. The old boards, like I said, for nostalgia effect, when we all get this game, which I'm aiming to get, see if I can get mine for Christmas, and I feel like that wouldn't be a bad decision for you guys here. We're going to do like a 30-turn game on Spaceland. And I'm going to... and we're going to really decide whether or not our friendship can stand the test of a long Mario Party game. Because if I'm going to be honest, that's going to be the deciding factor. If we are still friends by the end of that Mario Party game, I don't think our friendship is breakable. After 30 turns of Mario Party, you can't... That decides whether or not you're really friends with the people you're playing with. But
we don't talk about Monopoly in this instance.
We refuse to talk about Monopoly in this instance.
Monopoly. But
I like that it's starting out with online multiplayer and not patching that in 2 years into the game's life cycle. Like that made any sense.
Like,
say that again, Tava. I rudely talked over you.
I'm excited to play. Like, I'm probably going to be the first game I managed to get out of all of them.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get any of these other games.
I mean, I don't know. She might get like
Just Dance 2022.
No, I was gonna say maybe WarioWare for the meme purpose, but
WarioWare's be fun. But I'm not okay. gonna spend the money on it.
Now, here's what the part where we all started laughing. So Metroid comes in, right? We confirm we're getting new Metroid up here, and me and Holden are just like, ooh, and I believe Benny with all from the VC like, ooh, and then and it starts and it says Metroid 5, and we're just like, wait just a mother freaking minute. What? Because we forgot that Metroid Prime and Metroid itself are two different Metroid games. But just knowing that people have been waiting for so long for Metroid Prime 4, and then they come out saying Metroid 5, everyone's like, wait just a minute, where's the fourth one? Now, Metroid Dread, which is the official title of it, does look cool.
Yeah.
It looks cool. It's like it's a little 2D thing, but it has 3D models, which is neat.
Which is what most things do.
Yep.
People love their 2D game 3D models combination.
I mean, it's just how you do things nowadays.
It's a matter of do you do it well. Now the image I am going to post in here in general here also fits with that game there, and I'm just gonna wait for a reaction from
Ted.
That was me when all the other presentation was on.
Yes.
I was in bed asleep.
Yeah.
But that comes out October 8th. Fun.
Am I gonna buy it?
But I mean for me it's probably gonna be a probably not, but I might. Now here's where things got fun again. And Liam was the most happy about this one here. WarioWare is back again on the Nintendo Switch. I think they already got... Definitely got a Nintendo Switch game?
Nope. WarioWare hasn't gotten a game since the 3DS.
I knew, because I think they just put it at the end of 3DS's life cycle, which made me think it was beginning of the Nintendo Switch life cycle. But WarioWare, get it together. First of all, it was so funny because leading into E3, I've been posting a bunch of memes just like, if you have to pick two of these franchises, what would you pick? And Liam always picked Wario, just genuinely. and you know, it's completely understandable. Wario was a great franchise. As no one looking this quick, but it's just. That was Wario finding out he finally has a game on the new console. And also, let's talk about it here. This cover art is amazing. And completely on brand.
I mean, yes.
But it has co-op mini games. I wanted competitive, but co-op's cool. I want to compete against Benny or Liam in WarioWare. Who needs to compete in Smash Bros. And BlazBlue when you've got WarioWare? For the third Nintendo presentation in a row, we then get this Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Yeah.
Which is cool. You know? This is another game where if I paid any attention to the franchise beforehand, I'd be very excited for this game.
I'm not excited for it.
So I'm not getting this game. But it looks cool. It looks interesting. And, you know, that goes a long way. The game doesn't come out until November, though, which is interesting. Exclusively for Switch, which I think it means something here because the other games weren't. Like, the franchise has been exclusive with Nintendo before, but regardless. Advance Wars making a return.
Woo!
Oh,
Fire Emblem Tanks.
They're a few years late to this party. But, you know... They had to come back and show y'all, we started this. We came up with this concept. It was us first. You stole it from us. Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. Yeah, because Fire Emblem wasn't always like that.
Yes, it was.
Since when? I've played Fire Emblem games. Hey, not since the 1980s.
Yes.
maybe since the 1990s. But even then, I think Advanced Wars came out before that.
Let me look.
Google's going to be our friend.
Fire Emblem Shadow.
Advanced Wars.
Dragon. Release date. August. What? No. Not 2008. Released. No. The first one. There we go. Okay. April
420, 1990. The series Advanced Wars, they debuted in Japan in August 1988. There you go. Not by much, but one game's more popular now than the other, regardless. But I'm glad that they decided to come back. Good for them. Am I buying this game? No, but cool. It exists. December 3rd as the release date was kind of like, well then. You revealed this game. We're not getting it anytime soon. But here's where Derek began to get annoyed. Because as much as I talk about the formatting was better and them putting Zelda at them was good, this Zelda Game and Watch garbage. What? I don't want a Zelda clock. Why would you think I want a Zelda clock? I don't care if it's the 25th anniversary or 35th anniversary. Give me the remastered collection of games like everybody else has been asking for. You already remade Skyward Sword. Just do a couple more and put it all together in one game for 60 and I'll buy it. He is a Game & Watch thing that gives you Game & Watch minigames with a Zelda skin.
Yay.
Yay? Yay, question mark?
No.
But, no, seriously, get that garbage out of here. I don't want it. But who asked for this? This was dumb. And they ended by giving a full gameplay trailer to Breath of the Wild 2. Which is nice. It comes out sometime next year. It's also nice. Now, what the only thing that Nintendo was missing is that they did not do a and one more thing. That's not on brand with them.
But they did talk about Mario plus Rabbid Sparks of Hope.
I don't want it.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 plus 2.
That was cool.
There's lots of games we didn't talk about.
They didn't talk about. I mean, honestly,
Guardians of the Galaxy, Worms Rumble, Astria Ascending. What?
Do not bring Worms Rumble into this ever again.
2 Point.
So help me God.
I don't know what that is.
Do not talk about 2 Point Campus ever again.
Just Dance 2022.
We could have talked about that during the that wasn't during the Ubisoft thing, and that was the only thing revealed that was worthwhile. We didn't watch the Ubisoft presentation. That was the mistake me and Benny made 2 years ago. We thought
Cruise
one of our
Blast.
Okay, like that looks better than Forza. Mario Kart. That's Forza, but more fun to play.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot plus a new Power Awakens set.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this here for about 2 minutes. The frame rate on that trailer was cheeks. Oh my God. I was watching the lag. I could see it. Oh my. No new Dragon Ball Z game this year. That is interesting to me because they usually have one per year. And they don't. Which is okay, I guess. You know, you don't have to do one per year. I would have liked a reveal at one of these presentations, but Bandai did nothing, Xbox did nothing, and Nintendo still did nothing. But you know, a port's a port. It does not have the features that I like from the other Dragon Ball Z games that have been on Nintendo consoles, where I can take the two controllers, and if I put my hands together, I can do the Kamehameha. But, okay, No, that was always a thing with the old Wii games. You take the Wii remote and the nunchuck, and you put your hand in the position, and then you do a move. And Me and my cousin got so competitive with that over the years there, because charge energy, throw a blast, charge energy, throw a blast. We played it really poorly, but you know, nevertheless, the reason why we didn't talk about the game at the beginning was because the frame rate was so bad. They gave the worst possible trailer. That was disgusting. How you reveal a trailer in 140p? But they ended with a Breath of the Wild, with the Breath of the Wild thing. We were really expecting a and one more thing, and then reveal something else on top of that. Just leave us thinking. But no, that was actually it, which isn't bad.
Which was a lot. They revealed Metroid, Breath of the Wild, Mario Party.
They revealed Metroid, Breath of the Wild, Mario Party, WarioWare, and a new Smash character. They did technically check all the boxes. I still stand with people by saying that. Now, all you were just like, where's our Animal Crossing update? You don't need it. You don't need it.
You got a lot of updates.
I mean, they usually would have gotten an update pretty much with every presentation. This is the first one where they really haven't. But, you know, it wasn't necessary. What our game, I think, was necessary that they need to talk about, but they didn't. Bayonetta 3. What's going on, Nintendo? You want to talk to us about it here?
Apparently, they don't want to talk to us about it.
I've noticed after these last 3 years. They really do not want to give us any update on the franchise besides, oh, development's going well. Anyways.
Same with Metroid Prime 4.
Yes, but at least with that, they got confirmation that there was more Asian during this direct that it was still getting worked on. That nothing got mentioned for it this year.
Yep.
They did mention Mario Golf Super Rush.
Okay. We need to go back to talking about out of there. That game looks enjoyable.
I don't think it's $60 worth of enjoyable.
If
yes.
The game came out, and I think for a lot of games, if a game like that, if you put it at $40 instead of $60.
Oh, I would definitely buy it.
Well, that's the next squad game. We're all going to play golf together. But because it's a full $60 and it comes out in September.
Yeah, and that's like where everything else is going to come out in like 2 months.
Yeah, which again, I know how Nintendo does this stuff here. I'm expecting another like directing around that time here because there's too much stuff coming out in that September, early October window. There's too much stuff they have to. Which, reminds me, more things that they didn't talk about here because we got to, you know, balance it out. Was a little surprised because I think out of all like the games people were rumoring, this to me seemed the most likely they didn't even talk about, which tells me that it's not coming soon. Mario Kart. I mean, phone game is this. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is that. And the little live home circuit thing is whatever. But I think it's been long enough for us to get a new proper Mario Kart game. People were also suggesting that maybe DLC should come, which I'm not mad at either. But because they did DLC for the last one. But
we've had, not including the phone game or the home circuit stuff, we've had the same Mario Kart tracks
for 6 years.
No, longer.
Seven?
Maybe like eight.
When did Mario Kart 8 come out?
That was 2013.
Jesus Christ. I could have sworn that was 2015. But
we'll find out.
All right, the internet's going to be our friend once more.
14. Mario...
Okay, 7 years. Golly. Honestly, since it was going to be on their console here, I would have liked when they were running through like the games that they weren't going to talk about for like 15 seconds to talk to us about Colors Ultimate on the Switch, Sonic, because you know it's there. But
what's a Sonic?
Do we need to refer back to episode 6? It's video evidence. I mean, audio evidence, actually. But of us understanding what that franchise is. But that just, it's just a reminder. Nintendo still doesn't care. I would have liked some more gameplay on the new Pokemon game coming out this holiday season.
Pokemon likes to do it, it seems now. Like, they have their own Pokemon Directs and their own Pokemon this and Pokemon that.
Yeah.
We did get kind of like two Pokemon Directs in the past, however amount of time it was in before between, an actual Direct.
Well, I was going to do a Pokemon Direct. You only need to talk about two games.
Mm-hmm.
The mainline games are getting DLC, and here's the Pokemon Unite, whatever thing is. Don't talk to us for 5 months. 5 months later, all right, here's the Gen 4 remix you asked for, and here's a whole new thing. It's coming out next year, don't worry about it. Anyways, yes. Don't talk to us for 5 months. I think we're about 2 months away from getting another one, which I think will get us our full gameplay trailer of
Legends
Arceus. Honestly, no, I don't think you'll get a full Legends Arceus like gameplay trailer thing until November when the game when the Gen 4 remakes come out. But Legends Arceus doesn't come out till like January.
Yeah.
So
it was an odd time to release a video game.
Which, I mean, I guess they're just wanting to take that winter time slot. Because, the Gen 4 remakes come out late November. And Legends of Arceus come out late January. There's still room for a December holiday game, which is, I think, the only thing that we kind of know something's coming there, but we don't know what that is. They don't leave that Christmas slot open. They will take any moment to have a game come out this Christmas. Because guess what? Guess what a lot of video games get bought? Christmas time. Also Black Friday, which is not that far from there either, which is around the time where the Pokemon games come out. I know what you did. You're not slick, Nintendo. But
hey, Derek and Benny.
What?
What are your guys's go-to game that you want to get besides Mario Party?
Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Are we talking about games that got revealed at this Direct?
Yeah, all of them. Any of them.
Any game? Just in the existence of releasing games?
Yep. All of the E3s that we watched.
Oh. Okay, out of all the E3s
we watched. All of E3.
Okay, so this makes things interesting. Mario Party's up there.
Mario Party's the top one for me.
It's a cop out. I don't want to say Breath of the Wild 2. I refuse. I'm not saying it because that's next year. No.
Breath of the Wild 2.
That's next year. I don't want to count that because we don't know when that comes out next year. So, ignoring Breath of the Wild 2, like we should. I'm gonna come with the unpopular opinion and come and go all the way back to Super Monkey Ball again. Genuinely, I really want to play that game.
Definitely not Mario plus Rabbids.
Oh, absolutely not. Ew.
The ones that would be up there are Metroid Dread, Mario Golf Super Rush, WarioWare Get It Together, Shin Megami Tensei 5, Danganronpa Decadence.
Oh, right! Danganronpa!
And Breath of the Wild 2, but that's not... I guess we don't count that.
Danganronpa getting revealed was ridiculous.
Yes.
Many people on Twitter sarcastically joked about that about a week before the Direct, and then came back with this like, oh god.
I joked about it before.
But, no, they brought over like four games.
The main three games, and then a new spin-off game.
Which, a new spin-off game, I don't even know what that's supposed to be, but alright.
It's fan service.
It's fan service to game.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd probably say Golf and Monkey Ball for me. And maybe WarioWare. Outside of Mario Party. What other things could Nintendo have talked about and they didn't?
Pikmin 4.
Pikmin 4. There it is.
What were the Pikmin phone game?
Benny said the Mario Golf game, Metroid Dread, and Danganronpa.
And Shin Megami Tensei 5. But I don't really care about that game, so
You don't care about the game as much as you care about the other game, but if you had to name some games, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could have talked about Pikmin 4. They didn't, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that game just doesn't exist.
Yeah, they haven't actually confirmed that the title Pikmin 4 exists.
They've confirmed they just said a new Pikmin title game is coming. And yeah. Technically, what do they count Pikmin 3 Deluxe as?
They also did. They have Pikmin 3 Deluxe. They have Hey Pikmin.
Oh, the phone and game.
The phone game, all coming out after they said that.
Any of those three, they really could look at it. So it's like, you know what? It technically is a new title. We released it. It's new. The Pikmin community stares in disgust.
Yep.
No new Donkey Kong game, which I think that's going to come next year.
Yeah, that has they need to do something with Donkey Kong.
It's been too long. The last thing you did. We'll get to Scott Cawthon in a bit, but but no, no Donkey Kong. I think it's still Benny and me can still be that. Might be it's still a little too. Is it too early for Kirby now?
It's 2022. It's too late for Kirby.
I think 2022 is a good year.
That is a good year for Kirby.
I was going to say, this is because we were assuming, because in my eyes, I'm assuming if it got revealed at this conference, I was seeing that as the December holiday.
Kirby's a good reveal for 2022. But
2022 is good for that there. And honestly, Yoshi, I can see it. Because Crafted World came out like 2019.
Yeah.
So when you get to 22, it's been 3. Yeah.
Maybe.
As Derek's pipe dream request, he would have liked more a new Kid Icarus game for the Nintendo
that
Switch.
That would be cool, but
I really
they
want
give
that.
Up. They gave up on Kid Icarus.
Why would they do that? Because Kid Icarus Uprising, the community wants a new Kid Icarus game. Mm-hmm. More than the other games, of course, but I will say, you're saying the problem with Kid Icarus Uprising on the 3DS, they put it out before all the other games that people also wanted to play. Why would you have that game come out before both your Mario games to come out on that console, before Mario Kart, before Smash Bros, before any of the Pokemon games? Holy that was your. That was of one of your first. That game came out in late 2013. No wonder you didn't let that game prosper here. You put out Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS right after.
That game sucks.
Yes, but people bought it more.
No.
No.
If there's a new Super Mario Bros. Game,
The other thing that people probably argue that they need to talk about.
3D Mario game.
I'm only saying they do not need to talk about that for
they do
until middle of next year.
E3 next year. We're going to get a new Mario
E3
game.
Next year, that's... and I see E3 next year, and it's coming out the fall of that year. I don't think they'll put it holiday. I think they'll put it in October. But and
I
not
think
necessarily
put it holiday because it's Mario.
Now, don't call it, like me and Benny said, don't call it Odyssey 2. I don't care if that's exactly what the game is. Don't call it that.
Call it Super Mario.
You give us Super Mario Galaxy 3?
Just give us that.
At this point, just give us Galaxy 3.
Give it all the same cappy mechanics. Just call it Super Mario Galaxy 3.
To be fair, in my eyes, I kind of count that as... Actually, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, they did a little bit of a trilogy. And let's think about it this way here. 3D Land, 3D World, and Odyssey. If you think about the way the games work, kind of see those.
Not at all.
Not necessarily as a connected three at all. No. I'm not saying they're connected to trilogy, but I'm saying that 3D Land and 3D World are, of course, very similar games with similar mechanics, except a different power up here. Odyssey is the weird one in that here, but a land, a world, and an Odyssey.
And
is what I'm getting at here. And we need to go back to the galaxy. We need to go back to space. And back to space. Mm-hmm. But they're going to come back with Odyssey DLC
Super
next
Mario
year.
Super Mario Universe.
That.
Give us Super Mario Universe where it's just Mario Galaxy 1, Mario Galaxy... like a duo game, and then Super Mario Galaxy 3.
Yeah. What other things? Because I feel like we're definitely forgetting some other names here. Some mother names.
they're not gonna. They're not gonna touch that.
They're not even gonna bother. They're gonna just leave that there on the shelf.
It's not even on the shelf. It fell off.
It fell off the shelf, but they're just gonna leave it on the floor. It's collecting dust. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're gonna be honest, this year was kind of this year could have been the year because it was what, like, anniversary year.
It was anniversary year last year.
Okay, last year was the year then. Last year was one of the ones where there could have been where we could have seen it and we would have been like, well, it makes sense. But
it's older than Super Monkey Ball and
well,
nothing.
Yeah, but the difference with Super Monkey Ball is that it seemed like Nintendo cares more about keeping that alive than Mother. As long as Ness and Lucas are in Smash Bros., that's their view of caring about that franchise. Mm-hmm. And they won't put another character in there either.
They're going to take out Ness and Lucas in the next Smash game.
They'll take out Ness and Lucas and then put them back as DLC. Yep. So now you have to pay us $4 to play Lucas like you did the Smash 4. Do we have a clue of what the final Smash character is? I thought they were going to reveal a second one here, but you know.
I don't really care who it is.
I mean, to be fair, I care less about who it is now than I did before. I think that from a standpoint of what they like to do here, what makes it odd is the fact that it's a Bandai Namco rep for this. That's what the Tekken character is. So they're trying to figure out a pattern is in this here.
I found a pattern.
Also considering that Tekken 7 is dead and it's their most recent game. So
I had found a pattern earlier, and it's that there's two Nintendo characters. That is, I say Min Min and Piranha Plant add up. If you count Piranha Plant as DLC, which he is.
Yeah, we don't have a gender for the plant. We don't want to misgender the plant.
We go, Min Min and Piranha Plant go together, and then we see anime sword fighter Nintendo character is Pyra, Mithra, and Byleth. This is going patterns between both sets of DLC.
Wait a second. Anime Sword Fighter, and you didn't lump Dragon Quest in that?
No, I said Nintendo Anime Sword Fighter. And then we have the Square Enix rep being Hiro and Sephiroth. And then we have a fighting game rep being Terry and Kazuya.
Which leaves Joker.
So that could either mean JRPG representative or Sega representative.
If it's a Sega representative, that's going to blow some people's minds. Yep. They ain't got a lot of franchises they can touch except Sonic. Man, I don't care. They're not going to do it because they're smarter than this. They put Silver the Hedgehog in this game. Oh my God. The telekinesis character. Think about it. How annoying that would be to fight.
Mewtwo.
but he'd be faster significantly. And maybe the final Smash will be good. Unlike Sonic. It was mad disrespectful when they put Knuckles and Shadow in his assist trophies. That was mean. But did you name Banjo while you were naming characters in that pattern? Oh.
Banjo and Steve are the Microsoft representatives.
Right, there you go. That does check out. So,
and they're both extremely like wanted characters.
Yeah, they were definitely in like the big wish list of like back when in the old days is when Ridley was in, what K. Rool was in.
Mm-hmm.
The we really want these characters, and I'll still stand by that. Geno's still the last one left from that group.
I mean, technically, Geno is a JRPG character.
Now imagine if they just completely ignore the fact that he is a Mii costume and just put him in the game as playable character. So much for that bet of ours.
I do have a prediction for what the final character could be. I think there's a chance that Nintendo will go We made you think Waluigi was not going to be in this game. We made him a spirit. God. We made him an assist trophy. We did everything. Waluigi's the final character.
Waluigi is the final character. That is the most storybook ending to the DLC. They can't put another DLC character out of that, in my opinion.
No.
After that,
that's what I'm saying. It's the final one.
You got to leave it and like not put in anything else. There's no third wave. I don't care how many dummy slots are still left in the console's data or for that game. You got to leave it at Waluigi if that's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, does Waluigi really deserve it at this point?
I don't know.
I mean, he was kind of a meme pick for the beginning here, but then as the reveals went on before the game came out, it was kind of like a, we should really, because they did it in a strange way where they revealed only a certain amount of assist trophies per presentation, is why people thought Shadow the Hedgehog was going to be playable this time. It's why people thought Isaac, they got the little golden hands, was going to be in it this time. It's why people thought Waluigi was going to be
Spring
in it. Man. Waluigi got revealed. Spring Man? Yeah, but...
But then they straight up said Min.
And I said, yeah, I was still thinking something from that franchise. And I was like, okay, all right. And even then, I don't even know if that was the most popular character you could have taken from that franchise here. Or, as there. Because from ARMS, if you go, I mean, I think they did like a little poll thing, like in game or something that Min Min did win.
Out of the like, ARMS fans,
Min out of the ARMS popular. Characters, you have Spring Man as the main character. Ribbon Girl, honestly, more than in, I'd say, Min Min. Twin Tail, way more than Min Min, easily. And that's because of fan service. But on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we rating this Nintendo presentation? We've beaten around that bush too much. I'm giving it a solid 8.75 out of 10.
I'd say 9, but actually like an 8.8.
Like, it's almost at a 9 for me here. And the only reason why I think it, like, as much as it wasn't necessary because they revealed so much, if they, the and one more thing goes a long way in every presentation. Even for us,
we
didn't
thing.
Care much. And then, you know, they gave us that one little CGI game that looks kind of cool. And then it's just like, okay, all right. What an interesting way to end it off. No, but think. But honestly, Benny, what they could have did, I would have preferred them say, and that's it, and then have the screen go black, and then go to the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer. I love it when the companies lie to us about that. When they say,
but they couldn't have revealed the second Smash character, because that's the final character.
Yeah, they're going to do a whole big thing on that.
Like, the final character is either going to be Crash Bandicoot, Waluigi, or Sora.
It's gotta
I agree
be,
with that.
I think that, and like, with this character, they could have did anything with. And the only reason why I was thinking that we could be getting a big name here is because it's E3. It's the same feeling that I had going into the Game Awards. Because it's like, okay, all the companies have their eyes on this whole thing here. This is when you come in with something that's ridiculous. Like, that's why last year, or 2 years ago, it was Dragon Quest and Banjo-Kazooie. With regards to how I feel about Banjo-Kazooie, that was one of the highest requested characters for the longest time. They actually did it.
That's why I'm like, Waluigi. It's Nintendo's character. They can do whatever they want with him. And they could go for shock value.
I think, yeah, but I honestly think that if we're talking about highly requested character, Sora is the top. I'm easily able to say that he is.
I mean, I think like he's up there, but
he's top two.
Disney and Square.
Disney and Square don't get along, but the problem is, who does Nintendo really need to go through to get this approval?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Because from the way it sounds, from what I've been hearing, well, Square's already done two characters, and Disney's fine, from what I've been hearing with doing it there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I'm not sure if when people say that, they're really referring to Disney Japan or Disney America. Because I think they both have control over that.
One of them said no, I'm pretty sure.
And I think Disney America would be fine and Disney Japan would be difficult. But
it's weird, but okay.
Because that in past rumors, they said that Disney Japan was the main reason why Sora hasn't been in this game yet.
Yeah, but it's still weird. Like,
Japan's behind on everything. Of course they're doing stuff that doesn't make sense.
But Square Enix Japan knows what's up.
Are you sure about that?
They made a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that was 15 minutes long.
Was that Japan?
Was it?
There we go. Now, whether or not it actually was Japan, we don't need to fact check that. But the fact that we weren't sure, there we go. All right.
And it's also the third, fourth Square Enix character in this game, and the third out of the DLC characters.
Put someone in Smash Bros. Just do it. just put them there. You don't know the joy that the three people on this podcast right now would feel.
And if they put Crash Bandicoot, I might cry. Not a drop of tears. Yeah, pure sadness.
No, there's going to be two reactions there. So I'm going to be crying of joy, and there's going to be crying of sadness. It's going to be, well.
If Crash Bandicoot gets revealed, I might throw my laptop on my bed.
No, you will not. You will be safe. That you will close it angrily. You will close it with a very angry face.
Mm-hmm. I will leave the Discord call.
And Benny will just be really sad. But
I just won't play Smash ever again.
And we're still keeping the thing that we're gonna do when Kazuya drops here, which is go back to the game for about 2 days.
I will
days.
Play him for 1 day.
I mean, the friend groups that give Smash Bros. They always give Smash Bros. A chance for like 2 to 3 days, and then all right, back to whatever you were doing beforehand. But
I want Ragna from Blaze Blue to be in the fight.
If Blaze Blue was gonna be a character in this game, they would have did it already. I thought about
see,
that.
See, they could have done a better fighting game character.
No.
We don't have any anime fighting games in this.
Yeah, that's because they deconfirmed Goku.
Goku's an anime character.
Yeah, but he would have won in his game if they didn't deconfirm him.
No.
Am I right or am I right?
No, because they deconfirmed him.
Exactly. Now, we've been here somehow for E3... for talking about E3 for about an hour. As E3. So we only really need three topics here. E3 as a whole wasn't bad. Left me yearning for more in certain departments. But
certain
hey.
Departments like Xbox. And
yeah.
Sony.
But the however, this is the time where we get a little bit, I'd say this is a sadder topic for the last one here. So I talked about while I was playing Dungeons and Dragons with some wonderful people who I once again am not going to name, because once again I'm not naming people without their permission on this podcast anymore. That's why episode 4's main gimmick was me beating up people's names saying name redacted. But good old Scott Coffin, FNAF developer, got into some hot water over the previous weekend, because why can't people who make great things also be great people outside of it? Sorry, everyone go out and have a political opinion here. What happened with Scott, it's gross.
Whoever said FNAF was great.
Sam. Roll back,
whoever
go
said
back to
Sam was right.
True. Episode 1 can confirm our opinion on that, but go back and listen to that. I actually do it. It's like our top played episode. Seriously, I'm not joking about that. But well, we found out that Scott Cotton had not only had funneled some of some money to supporting our former president that no one likes, but then on top of that, then doubling down in the apology statement saying that because he was the right choice, which was also wrong.
Watch out, Derek. You might rile up the capitalists.
You here on this podcast, if you here supported Mr. Donald J. Trump, I need you to leave. Get out. I don't care. Sorry. Get out. Actually, I'm not sorry, but still Get Out. But yeah, ugh. But no, it was the news I found out yesterday that made this sad. Is that according, and I found this through his website to get confirmation on this, after the backlash, and I really thought about more, and he is kind of old, he announced that he is officially retiring. Which is, yeah. It's been
so long.
But like one, like it was an interesting point because it's brought up that, you know, he's saying this. They came out yesterday, which was the 7th anniversary of the first game's trailer. And he said in the statement here that he realizes that he's in his mid-30s right now. When he was in his mid-30s when he created the series, and now he's approaching his mid-40s. He has 6 kids. from a standpoint of that, I completely understand why he decided, you know what? I'm gonna leave.
He's going to retire and then work at a pizza place and then create animatronics. And he has 6 kids. Hey. Maybe your microphone seems to be messed up, though.
Is it?
Very.
Yes.
Now I'm just going to put the full statement in general as I read it. Before I say anything, check out this awesome piece of fan art. Pretty amazing stuff, right? I have boxes of artwork like this from fans that I've saved over the years. I've tried to answer as many letters as I could, and I apologize to everyone that I missed somehow. Someday, when I have a bigger living room, maybe I'll make a giant collage of all the fan art I've collected. Stuff like this has made it all worthwhile to me over the last 7 years. I've had a blessed, fulfilling, and rich career. I've been shown great kindness, and I've tried to show great kindness in return. Tried to make some good games, let the debate ensue, and I've witnessed the creation of possibilities to be the most creative and talented fan base on the planet. I don't think he's wrong with that. But here on the 7th anniversary of the first game's trailer, as I realized that I was in my mid-30s when I created the series and I'm approaching my mid-40s, I realized that I miss a lot of things that I got to focus on before FNAF became such a success. I miss making games for my kids. I miss doing it just for fun, and I miss making RPGs even though I stink at it. All this say that I'm retiring. I have been shown tremendous love and support over this last week, a lot of which has come from the LGBTQ community. The kind that's shown to me has been surreal. Is this the end of FNAF? No. That just means that someone else will eventually be running the show. Someone of my choosing and someone that I trust. We'll have Matthew to wait Patrick. And it has. We'll get to that afterwards. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. My announcement will be made at some point. I have 6 kids now, although one of them is currently the size of a blueberry. Fair enough. I know what that means. he currently has, I think, I take that, and because it's because I'm stupid, I'm really reading into this like I don't understand what he means. But 5 kids and a 6th one on the way. I love them dearly. They are my whole world and my whole universe. I want to focus my attention on them, focus on protecting them, and spend my time making things for them. I only ask that my fan base respect my decision. I'll still be around, just not in the capacity that I used to be. What a blessed career I've had, what wonderful people I've met, what a tremendous blessing that I've been able to know all of you. Thank you so much. See you on the flip side. Yeah. And, you know, that statement's posted on his own personal scottgames.com website. But, yeah, that's... We have our indifferent feelings regarding the whole franchise, and... It bums me because I really was hoping we could have gotten Sam on this episode here because it would have been perfect for it. But we understood what FNAF was, and we may not think that the game was necessarily perfect, but it was a game that affected, you know, the times we were in. We played bootleg versions of the FNAF games on the school computers that were unblocked. You were there, though.
You didn't play, but you were there. You were there at that time. That was like 7th, 8th.
Oh.
You were there. You just might not have been participating. But this is a real end of an era kind of retirement thing. It has been 7 years.
Yep.
I remember talking about FNAF with AJ back in like 5th grade about how this with this weird new game. He understood it. I didn't. And then I fully
remember thinking about it.
I thought it was cool for like a good 2 years, and I stopped thinking it was cool.
And then, I thought it was cool for like half a minute.
But I completely respect his decision. But dang, now as to someone taking over the franchise here, there's only one guy, and you said it already. MatPat's poured his heart and soul into their right threes on that franchise. He kind of needs to be, if we're picking a guy to oversee this stuff, there's no other person that fits.
In my opinion, I think all the theories that he made.
Yo, I get to join this?
Okay. Hey, Liam, we're going to lightning round some topics here because my earbuds are dying and we're 80 minutes in. Did you check to see what happened at the Xbox presentation thing?
No.
Okay, cool. It wasn't much. The Nintendo stuff we told you about, how did you feel?
Pretty cool. Advance Wars, so
Advance Wars and WarioWare. And, you know, as I mentioned previously, Super Monkey Ball.
But what about Breath of the Wild 2?
It doesn't come out until next year, so my opinions on it are staying standstill until we get more confirmation of when that game will exist. But, and you caught us right as we were briefly talking about Five Nights at Freddy's, because the unfortunate thing is that, granted, despite Scott getting himself into some hot water the day before, he announced his official retirement yesterday afternoon. And I was wondering why Thank You Scott Compton was trending on Twitter after what happened the weekend prior.
Yo, Liam's here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a guy who started working on this stuff in his mid-30s, now approaching his mid-40s, with 5 kids and a 6th one on the way, retiring makes sense. I get it. You go be a father, Scott, you know? And me and Benny can only agree on one thing regarding this FNAF franchise, that when it comes to who he's deciding to take over this, Matthew Patrick, game theory guy.
Matthew Paffew?
Matthew Paffew, yes. Shout out to Matthew Paffew, if you're somehow hearing this. You shouldn't. Go work on a theory or something. But leave us alone. But
yeah. Hey, Benny.
Hmm.
So, you and Derek, I'm on the internet right now, like Google. You and Derek both have the Anchor logo. I have a phone logo, and then Liam's on his computer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
This is sad.
What else can I say here regarding this here? But yeah, I think that we've all been familiar with FNAF during a point in our childhoods.
No.
Where we knew what the game was and was like, okay.
I know what the game was. I didn't care about it, but I knew what it was.
We may not have cared as much as I think Sam cared the most. Again, really wish Sam could have been on this episode for this topic specifically. But and I will reference this the next time Sam's on an episode. But nevertheless, we're not really sure. We're still getting there's still a new game coming. There's still a movie coming, but it's not going to be made by the same person. It's going to be weird. So
FNAF, the movie?
That's been in the works for 4 years, Tava. it's in production currently at the moment. It's being worked on by a little company called Blumhouse, which have made the Paranormal Activity movies. Which makes perfect sense when I think about it. And a game full of animal robots, spirits, and lots of death. Perfect. Paranormal Activity.
if that song isn't in that movie,
the slaughter.
And if anything, the issue is because that's a fan song. There, so they're gonna have to get rights for that. And even then, they'll probably redo it on top of that.
Copyright.
And the episode got
don't have the rights for that.
Man, I'll play the song at the end of this episode. I don't care.
Then just give them the rights. Like, go to the YouTube and put it in the description.
I don't think that's how that works.
Sure, how that works. For the record, if Derek actually plays that song at the end of the episode here, it's only for a meme purpose. It's only going to include the part that Derek keeps joking about. But I'm giving credit before, or I do it. If I do it, I might be bored enough to do it. But that's the end of this episode. This was another hour and 25-minute episode, but we only had three topics. This is why I know this group works best with doing these podcast episodes here. You know how little topics we took and got so much content out of?
Yep.
In
a previous podcast we aren't going to talk about here, we come in with 10 topics and still finished the episode in less time. Whoopsie. But, yeah, this outro time here. We thank everyone who listened to this full episode. We are going to attempt to get a schedule back with this, maybe.
I'll
be available most likely.
I'm hoping I'm going to be available.
So, right, everyone say bye to the listeners.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Yes, testing. The following audio you're going to hear for the outro of this episode, I do not apologize for. I was bored, and I said I'd do it during the episode, but...